Good morning. This is Kemp Haar, and you're listening to FloorDaily.net. And this morning, my guest is John Ball. It's a good time to have John with us because most of the public companies have reported their Q1 results. And John is with Stifel Nicolaus as a managing director and is, I think, one of the leading analysts when it comes to analyzing the public companies in the flooring business. So, John, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Kemp.
Thanks for being with us. So tell us what's going on with these public companies. I mean, you know, let's start with Mohawk. Mohawk came out with a pretty big loss in the first quarter, and yet right after the results, which I thought were going to be bring their stock down, their stock took off. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, stocks often are not linked with the what we call fundamentals or news of the company of the day, and stocks are supposed to be, and usually are, well out in front of the fundamentals. I would point out that stocks aren't always right. In other words, sometimes stocks anticipate things getting much, much better or much, much worse, and they don't actually happen that way. But clearly the market's reaction at this point, not just with Mohawk, but with, frankly, all of the floor covering companies, and to be candid, a wider spectrum than that, most of the big-ticket consumer durable or cyclicals that we follow have rallied dramatically in the last 30 to 45 days, despite what in most cases has been awful first-quarter results. So the market, right or wrong, is anticipating things will be much better as we move forward. Mohawk specifically, I think the market took some comfort in the company's Q2 earnings guidance. They only guide one quarter out, but they guided to an earnings number that was slightly above my estimate, and I believe I had the high estimate on the street for the second quarter. So market, again, tends to be forward-looking, not backwards-looking.
Well, you know, I interviewed Dan Frierson last week, and he had some pretty good, very interesting news. One of the things that he said, and I wanted to see if you could confirm it, that flooring is oftentimes, when we come out of these recessions, an early indicator that as the flooring market starts to show recovery, it is a good sign that maybe the economy is doing the same thing. Can you comment on that?
Well, I think that's generally true. I mean, if you just look at the predictive nature of flooring, it began to, I dare say, tank back in the late summer of 06. And that foretold four things for the economy, and indeed was correct. The other thing I'd point out is that normally when we come out of recessions, they're not gradual. They're violent to the upside, which we certainly hope will occur here. Most of the people I talk with are believe that when we recover, it'll be very gradual. That may be. I happen to think when we recover, it for at least a period of time will be fairly dramatic. And that's nothing more than the fact that we've spent now probably the last 6 months virtually buying nothing as consumers in this arena, and I think it's been overdone. So we'll see some level of spending snap back once the economy truly improves.
One of the things that Dan said is, in watching his daily numbers, that he has seen almost a consistent improvement since the beginning of January in his order rate.
Well, I don't know if Dan shared this with you, but he's shared it with me in the past. And certainly, if over time, if you compared his order book to the Dow Jones Industrial Average, there's a striking correlation. And, you know, it may not match up perfectly month by month with his order book this cycle, but almost all of the major stock indices bottomed in late February and have been moving up fairly nicely since then, and I would imagine his orders have tracked that. And one of the reasons is most of the people buying on the residential side, Dixie carpet, you know, with Maslin and Fabrica and Dixie Home, those are relatively high price points, and most of those people are invested in the market, and it's really the market is sort of a barometer of the consumer confidence of that income profile or wealth profile. So not at all surprising to hear that.
And as people who listen to this show are wondering if there's going to be, if there's more correction to come. So what is the opinion at Stifel Nicolaus about where we stand?
Well, unemployment will likely continue to rise. Mm-hmm. And incomes will remain challenged. It looks like home prices will continue to fall for several more months. One would argue that on unemployment, that's a lagging indicator.
Right.
If you look at leading indicators, and one of the best indicators in this cycle, because this was really a credit crunch, the recession slash depression, if you look at credit metrics, they're improving, and in some cases fairly dramatically. Now, they should be, after all of the government's efforts to throw money at this problem. But when you look at what's happening with credit spreads, the spreads between the interest rates charged on riskless treasury securities and, say, high corporate bonds or junk bonds, high-yield bonds, those spreads are narrowing. That's an indication the market is willing to invest in more risk. And, the economy really functions on credit more so than the stock market. So the fact that the credit market is showing signs of reviving or getting back to some level of normalcy is a very bullish indicator about the future of this economy. It does not mean, unfortunately, we're going to employ people tomorrow, but you have to set the stage for loans to be made and commerce to begin again, which will ultimately lead to corporations rehiring people. So I would say the leading indicators are favorable, but will probably weaken as a general economy further. I hope not a negative 6% GDP again in the second or third quarter, but we'll probably still see negative growth in the economy for a quarter or two.
Isn't the prediction, I think, for just like a negative 1 or something like for Q2?
I don't know what the consensus view now is, Kemp, but I would think that would be in the ballpark. We'll have another negative quarter, and then by the time we get to the third or fourth quarter, we might flatten out or go positive. That's the consensus view. Again, a lot of the leading indicators are positive. Consumer sentiment surveys are turning somewhat positive. There are signs of hope as opposed to doom and gloom, which is where we've really been up through the middle end of February.
And consumer sentiment is positive, actually jumped more than it had jumped in some, 30 years or something last time I saw a report. You know, as you look at the sectors in the flooring market, we've talked before that we think the residential market will show signs first and the commercial market still has a ways to go, right?
Yeah, and it'll probably be that retailer replacement part of the residential segment that'll recover first. Building, new construction permits and all those things are still pretty negative, and flooring's lag to construction. So it looks like it'll be a while before those improve. But those consumers that were sitting on the fence that want to redecorate or redo their flooring, you know, as the job picture improves and or their income profile improves or the general confidence improves, they'll likely spend first. The commercial will lag considerably. Commercial is going to be a tough sector all through calendar 2009 and likely through a good portion of 2010.
Let's talk. One of the things that got us into where we are was foreclosures, you know, bad investment on the residential side. And there's been some talk that there's been over-speculation on the commercial side that we have yet to feel, and that as the commercial market continues to be soft, there'll be a high rate of foreclosure, which could cause a second wave of credit issues. What's your thoughts there?
Well, I'm not an expert on the subject, but I would say in general that we overbuilt the residential, you know, too many homes. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's the similar issue in office buildings. We didn't have a boom in office building construction. There is excess space, and vacancy rates are rising. That has to do more with the employment situation and some of the over-leverage that was put on the sale of office buildings or some of the financings of office buildings. So the we really have a more of a finance issue, over-leverage in some of these commercial buildings, and a current weak demand with employment being so soft. I would hope the employment figures will start to shift. That will in turn improve demand for office space, and then as we work our way through some of the credit morass, as we free up the credit spigot, that will presumably help financing of commercial buildings. But there's a lot of pain there. There are a lot of loans on banks' books that we've all read about that are probably that the underlying assets are not supportive of the loan values, and there's a certain amount of pain and flushing that still needs to occur to work out the commercial side of that equation. We're going through it on the housing side. Foreclosures, I don't know if they're peaking, but they've obviously been rising for quite some time. There seems to most importantly be absorption or demand of that supply, and that's what's making investors generally feel that we're close to a bottom on the residential construction piece of the puzzle.
All right, before we run out of time, as we look at the four public companies that you follow, we talked a little bit about Mohawk, there's Armstrong, Interface, and Dixie. Is there any highlights or concerns that you see out there with any of those companies? Do they all seem to be pretty healthy and, you know, looking like they're going to prosper on the other end?
Well, healthy. It's hard to say. You know, Mohawk lost a lot of money in the first quarter. Interface effectively broke even. Dixie lost a good bit of money. Armstrong had negative EBIT in the flooring operations. So it's hard to call that a healthy environment. I think, you know, we've measured health more on a balance sheet and cash flow basis than a P&L basis. And if there's any good news, all of the flooring companies and many other manufacturers, for that matter, have been forced to cut back capacity and downsize overhead and staffing levels. That means that simply we need less volume to make money going forward. And any lift of volume from the current levels, we may well get back into profitability fairly quickly. Most of these companies look like they have adequate cash flow to get through this cycle. So if you measure health in terms of balance sheets and cash flows, and you make the assumption that we don't have a further leg down in demand, yeah, I think these companies will make it through and earn a lot of money on the other side. But it's still quite a challenging environment. And, you know, it's going to be tough sledding until we really get to the fourth quarter in terms of year-over-year earnings comparisons.
And many people have pointed out in the media, 70% or plus of this economy comes from consumer spending. So it's hard to predict what the consumer is going to do, right?
Well, nobody foresaw the level of, I say the consumer went on strike for the last 6 months. And nobody really could predict that. Nobody saw the kinds of volumes, declines that we've seen in auto sales or housing, you know, pick furnishings, floor coverings. These are shocking levels that we're at. Now that we're there, I think we've set the stage for some level of rebound, because as the shock has worn off and the fear subsides, 90%+ of us have jobs. And yet a good percentage of those people were not spending anything in the last 6 months, fearing further deteriorations in the value of their home, their investments, or the potential loss of their income, their jobs. And as those fears subside, and that seems to be happening, Kim, you set the stage for some level of spending compared to a level where we weren't spending anything. And I think that rebound will feel quite good. As precisely the timing on when that occurs, hard to say, but I would say we're setting the stage now for that to potentially happen in the second half of the calendar year.
Well, you sound pretty optimistic, John. This is such a change from the last couple of times we've talked.
Well, we seem to have plugged a hole in the ship. I mean, it really all ties to the credit markets and the functioning of our banking system. And while we may have some huge issues down the road, Kemp, with hyperinflation or the solvency of the U.S. currency, because we have borrowed so much money to try to plug the hole, in the interim, we're going to see some level of recovery. The question remains to be seen, you know, if it's all done on the backbone of further debt, how well it's we can sustain that level of spending. But that's another topic. I think before we have to address that potential problem, we'll see some level of recovery. If you throw enough money at it, if you borrow enough money, people will spend it, and that's effectively what our Treasury and our government's been doing.
Well, let's talk about what might happen down the road next time we get together. John, I appreciate you spending time with us. Been talking to John Ball, who's the Managing Director of Stifel Nicolaus, who tracks most of the public companies in the interior furnishing business, of which flooring is one, And you've been listening to Kemp Haar and FloorDaily.net.